Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We were talking about a lot of things happening. Of course, what we want to do is give a light perspective to God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know what to do with the news you know, but it's not enough to know the news, but you need to know what to do with the news that you know. And we're just data gatherers now. It's like, how do I store my data?
Yeah.
I need a bigger data place. It used to be stuff, and now it's just data. And it's like, that's useless unless you can hire ohmygov.com to mine it. You know what I'm saying? It's useless data.
And they are fine.
Yeah, they actually, but it was just kind of a pun there. And so the thing is it's not how much you gather. It's do you know what you're hearing? Does it make sense to you? Mm-hmm. Because there's a rhythm to what you hear. There's a rhythm to what spirit it is of. And so what we tried to do, and you say you've been hearing, what you've been hearing is what we've been sharing with you is kind of giving you a light perspective of that. And nothing has changed. It's always been the same. It's a battle between light and dark. The question is, are we going to be the light of the world? And if you look at what always coincides with a move of God, even the birthing of the church, that parallel to the church birthing and happening at the very same time, is always some ruthless ruler, some crazy government situation going on, some wild, rebellious sexual revolution and the quote hippie movement, Woodstock. And at the same time that was going on, you had this outpouring of in the 60s where just a major move of God happened, and people were getting out of all of that. People were getting saved out of that. And the thing is that it takes that to break up the soil. Just because, you know, if a society's been doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, if we've been doing stuff we shouldn't be doing, then we're totally convinced. We're totally convinced that, and we continue to do it. Then we're like locked into that thing. We're bound by that thing, and we really believe at some point we're deceived in thinking that it doesn't matter anymore. And so you have all these, it doesn't matter anymore in a society. So what God will do, and if you didn't get it, you can get it, you know, is America under God's judgment, that he'll turn us over to it. And when we get turned over to it, people go, that's horrific. And it's like, well, no, what was happening quietly out of men's eyes, but in my eyes, now is happening before everybody's eyes. Mm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were smoking crack in the back, and now you just happen to be smoking it at the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like nothing new. People are like, this is crazy. It's like, no, God's just giving us over to those things. And so, but in that, what happens is that mankind gets scattered because of the consequences that happens to our life and bad governments and you know, our body suffers greatly because of it, which humbles us like the prodigals. And we may come to our senses. We may say, I walked out every form of ignorant wisdom I had that I judged other people for not walking out my wisdom. And I found out the end of every one of my roads was hell. It was terrible.
Right.
And it ended with death, destruction, mayhem. And I just wanted to end my life.
Mm.
And then they go, so then I turned back to God's wisdom. I turned back to God, and God says, here I am. I was there all along. At that point, so they wouldn't receive God when they were locked up and hard-hearted and stiff-necked and convinced that what was happening in the back room didn't matter. It didn't matter. As long as you did what was right in the front room, everything was all right.
Mm.
And the thing about it, it's not true. That's not true. I mean, nobody's perfect, but the context of it, if you believe that if men don't see it, then it's all right, then you totally missed it. The thing is, if we sin immediately, no matter who sees it or doesn't see it, and it is a major incident if it's done in front of the body of Christ, that you just got to repent and ask God to forgive you, you know, that it's not okay, and then thank God for his forgiveness, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for his forgiveness. And so what we're seeing now, we're seeing a nation just turned over, we're getting turned over to our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if God wouldn't have saved me, I'd be in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be in the middle of it. I'd be 100% in the middle of it. Because he pulled me out. He saved me. He called my name. And he loves me, and he loves you if you're listening, and he loves the folks that are out there. He wants no man's life to end without knowing him as their Lord and Savior. He's willing for you to lose everything, everything and take you, pieces of you, into eternity with him.
That's right.
And so, but with that has to come the end. He just gives you over to all your false gods and all your things that you worship and all your stuff. And it's a scary thing to be turned over to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scary thing for God just to let you go. You know what I'm saying? And just all kinds of things can happen. Yeah. And it's better to fall into the hands of God, as David said.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so I want to encourage you that when it gets like that, when it gets like the Great Depression, that's when you start seeing things like the Oral Roberts, and you start seeing the Reverend Billy Graham's, and you start seeing, you know, everybody's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Well, we don't have no power. The power just got turned off, and we're living with 15 people in our household. Is there something going on in that big tent up the street? Yeah, I hear Oral Roberts is there. And so, you know, God has a way of getting our attention.
Yes, he does. Right.
And they stay the whole meeting. It's like, I'm not going to go back right now. And so you can, if you just look at history and don't give in to the darkness and realize, you know what, I'm going to, and this is the question I believe that Corrie Ten Boom was asked, but I'm not sure if it was her, but it's something she would say. You know, what do you do? What do you do when it gets dark? What do you do when evil folks just begin to take over? And because you feel like there's something more I need to be doing. And if you're the American church, you probably do. But I'm talking about folks that are being all they can be, doing all they can do. They're maxing out the talents that God's given them. I mean, Corey was doing that.
Corey, for God.
For God, yes. Mm. Thank you. These are so important. Yeah, right. These are very important. And then this is what she said, because this time she was actually hiding Jews in her place to be able to keep them from being killed.
Yeah.
And knowing that she's suffering greatly because of it and being in prison. And this is all she said. Or the person that said this that was doing the same thing as Corey. She said, just continue to be the light.
Mm.
Mm.
I mean, how much more can you be other than just be who God's called you to be? Just be. Just be. It's like my tailgate conversations with Steve, right? It's like, just be, right? Oranges, apples, oatmeal, and all that stuff. All
right.
And we underestimate the power of just being. John Paul Jackson, who prophesied about the coming storm, and you can actually get to it on VFNTV.com. Just scroll down, look at the banner on there, and go to it. And a lot of it's come to pass. This storm is horrific. Storm, biggest storm in the history, typhoon in the history of the world, so supposedly. They hit the Philippines after a couple more storms hit them again. An earthquake came before that. Yeah. This is what's been prophesied about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just increasing. He talked about all this.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question was, you know, what do you do? You know, and we talk about prudent preparation. If you haven't got it yet, you need to go to the VFNTV store and get it. Prudent preparation. Because a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it. But a fool keeps going and suffers for it. Imagine if the Lord told you, if you would listen to VFN radio and you're in the Philippines, and we have people, potential audience in the Philippines right now, that if the ones that prepared, they're helping folk right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going out and they're taking care of folks.
Mm-hmm.
Because you prepared. You knew these days were going to happen, and now you can help them in the name of Jesus. And so, but this is what he says, and it's just very powerful because he saw all these headlines that are now coming to pass, but is to begin to live a righteous life. Live the life that Jesus expects us to live.
Mm.
Walk in humility. Walk, be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't underestimate that. You stand out. You stand out like a big, and you are. You're a bright light in the midst of darkness because you're carrying the light of the world. And so understand a great awakening. If you stay awake and if you don't go to sleep, if you don't buy in and just throw yourself into darkness, if you allow yourself to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you didn't take the time to listen to VFN radio, watch VFN TV, get connected to somebody who's actually teaching the truth, it's not trying to hold on to sacred cows in this, understand that you're the hope, you're the light of the world. And always, there's been a great, great, terrible time of darkness, at the same time, a great harvest of souls that are taking place. This is the time for a great awakening, is It's always the best of times and the worst of times. You're never going to have the best of times alone, and you're never going to have the worst of times alone unless you give in to the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in the worst of times, it's in the hard times that men look up. It's in the hard times that we decide and go, you know what? You know, what am I living my life for? Why am I doing what I'm doing? They ask very important questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, remember, God designed everything in his life and her life and your life to see if you would ask that question. He's waiting for you, though he's not far from you, to begin to ponder, what is this all about? So that's anything that gets a man to that point, it's beautiful.
To get there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sad, you know, that it takes those moments, but, you know, we're not God, and he's okay with those moments.
That's right.
He'll take us back again and again to those moments.
And again and again.
Yeah. And so, which means is, when a man asks that question, if you walk faithfully in the light, you're going to have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the answer when the man who's tried every drug in the world, only to find out the drugs just made him want more drugs and took him to this endless place of misery, depression, paranoia, and dependency, and went from prescription drugs to street drugs to now the people who used to criticize on the news that he is one now.
Mm.
His friends don't want anything to do with him now because he's robbed and stealed. Everybody took him or her at their word, but it was only just to take advantage of one more person to get one more fix. Okay, not drugs. Maybe it was business. Okay, maybe it's not business, maybe it's a relationship. Whatever it is, and they trusted you one more time, and all you were doing was trying to feed your addiction. You're just trying to get what you wanted in life. And you used everybody up, and nobody's there to feed you anymore. And what do you do? Well, the prodigal looked up. And don't think this is truly a nation that has tried everything. We've been given over to ourselves, to our sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
And in that you find out it's just destructive. It's not anything good in it. It's a lie. It doesn't bring joy, peace, happiness. I mean, you have to medicate just to forget about what you're actually in. You know, even Proverbs says, you know, let a poor man, you know, medicate basically,
right,
so that he can forget about his misery. And understanding that this is going to be a great harvest of souls. This is going to be a great harvest because God loves them, him, this person, that person. He loves mankind. And when they see the oppression of men's religion and they see the oppression of government and that government can't be God, and they see the great tragedy of normally there's loss of great life during a time like that, and you start seeing people go, well, they could have lived another 20 years, but they said they just weren't going to treat them medically because... And you start realizing life's not forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start seeing, you know, children, you know, their life taken out because they say, well, you know, they just didn't have a quality of life. They wouldn't have had a quality of life. I know they were 8 and they were 5, but we just weren't going to sustain them.
Mm.
We could just get rid of the whole prenatal emergency part of the hospital now. Well, you know, we're spending so much money on trying to keep these children alive.
Mm.
And I read Dr. Dobson's book called Fathers, and he talks about this. I read it in January, and I'm thinking, man, this is so far-fetched, and it's amazing. Prophecy always seems so far-fetched, but this is a man who spent his life on focusing on the family, and the whole book is a story from several dimensions about how, like, three stories collide, and they all were integrated to the point where this man wanted to start his, he needed money. He didn't have money. He needed to do what he wanted to do. And so he, instead of looking and honoring his mother to be his mother, he saw her as holding back his life. You're holding back. If you would just go ahead and die, then I could have money. And you always wanted me to be a professor, didn't you? And I need to go get my college degree.
Wow.
I need to get my college degree. And of course she's struggling with the fact that this is my son. I love my son. But now, do I look like a money tree to him now?
Mm.
Is that you only see, you're upset that I'm living a day longer?
Using up potential resources that could be his.
Well, yeah, exactly. Using up his resources.
Mm. Wow.
And, you know, you've already lived your life already. You know, you've already lived it already. And I have my life to live. And so he takes her to a place that we used to call assisted living facilities or nursing homes, but they're not anymore.
Really?
They're all they are is places of decision. Mm. Places, I believe the word was transition, where you go into a room and you sit there and you decide, are you ready to transition?
Mm.
Which means to give your son what he wants and to give society a break because you're really costly. The bottom line is, and let me tell you something, Christian's businessman, that you've done so many evil things based on the bottom line, and now you're about to see a country who doesn't know God, leaders, making decisions on life because of bottom line.
Mm.
I mean, how many abortions came because of bottom line? How many business, bad, evil, dark decisions were made because of the bottom line? It's just business.
Mm.
And now we're going to start seeing Lucifer in darkness with bottom line. And they're going to look at mothers and fathers and go, you know, the bottom line is, you know, you've already had this whole life. I mean, you're way up into your, you know, and it's like, I think she was young.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to end it now. And it's going to be better for everybody. And so he carries her son. He carries his mother, who is kind of, you know, all there, but having those moments. And she sits down and she's thinking, okay, my son, it's in her voice. Oh, he's wanting to, you know, check me into this assisted living facility, which she's like, oh, I didn't ever want that anyway. You know, you got kind of mm-hmm. feeling like, ugh, because the last time you may ever see me, if you check me in there. And, but she's battling between, he's using love against her, mm-hmm. taking advantage of her love. And that's what they'll do, is take advantage of the love of the parent. And so the guy starts explaining to her, the person that runs the facility there, what is going on. And she's kind of confused because, I mean, that's a new thing to us. You're talking about killing me?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't use those words. It's called transitioning.
Mm.
And so then she starts to say, well, I don't know. And then that's when her son kicks in like, come on, you said you wanted me to be a professor. You said this and you said this. Like, but the conversation is they changed the vocabulary, which this is what the enemy always does. He takes away the meanings of words and changes them. This is what they should have said. We're going to kill you so he can have your money, ma'am. And that would be honest.
That'd be honest. Right.
That'd be honest.
Clear.
He's not satisfied with the amount of money he has and what he can do with what he has. So he wants what you have, you know, and the envy and the jealousy and the stuff that's been stirred up in his life. So we're going to kill you, but we can't kill you without you giving us permission to kill you.
Mm.
Instead of calling that, I said, this is called transitioning, ma'am. You know, you're transitioning from a fine life that you've had.
Mm.
At the same time, they had a young man who was struggling with his mental capabilities, and he was having a quality of life, but he felt like he was a burden to his parents, and he was a burden to folks, and he wasn't. So secretly, by the time he became 18 years old, he signed up to transition himself as a gift to his family, which is basically kill himself.
Mm.
It's suicide. I'm just trying to help you out. Like suicide, this is what suicide notes say. You know, I was just a burden to you anyway, and all this kind of stuff. That's a devil, man, trying to take you out. That's the easy way out. Live for God.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he is when he turned 18. The first thing he did was he bought into the narrative over the nation that said, you know, you can, if you really care, if you want to do something brave, transition yourself. You know, I'm grabbing for the word transition, but that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so his mother found out that he's already signed these paperwork and he's in there about to get the, what we used to call a death sentence, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get injected with chemicals and you die for murdering folks, that he volunteered for this to happen. And so she goes in the room and she says, stop it. You can't do this. This is it. But he was 18. They say, ma'am, you can't stop it. He's 18 years old. He's already signed his transition.
Wow.
They're taking, this is Lucifer. He just wants to kill you, to steal, kill, and destroy.
Wow.
And the long story short, when she's struggling to pull the wires out of her son, she falls and hits her head, ends up being sued. And the whole thing, you got to read this book, because all three scenarios merge together with Congress and the legislation and a news article being written about this whole thing. And they find out that they're all the same story. It's all the same. We're it's like the guy getting the deal is taking advantage of someone. It's like all of us.
Right.
And this congressman was worried about that if I say yes to this particular law, then all of a sudden all this in this particular law, and this is what they're saying right now. There's a book out right now on CBS. I can't tell you what the name of the book is about exposing the congressman and legislature for getting these sweet deals. They said If you study them, and this is what she studied in her article, she studied the fact that this people who were really pushing that law didn't tell you this, but they were making the drugs that transition people. What's the name of the book?
It's called Extortion, Your Congressman Shaking You Down.
Yeah, Extortion, Your Congressman Shaking You Down. And so what this congressman didn't realize and what the journalist was going to reveal was the reason why he's wanting you to pass this legislation is because they're fixing to kill all these people in the world. They're going to kill them all.
Mm. Oh, wow.
They're going to kill them all. They're going to transition them.
Wow.
And you think about it. That's always what happens. What Lucifer always does. It's just another way of doing it. Understand, when people begin to see the consequences of these dark decisions and you stay the light, you continue to preach the gospel, do you understand how contradictory you'll be to that? Do you understand that people will be, they'll realize going, my goodness, I've been deceived. And all of a sudden you'll see this great harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God, the power of God, the righteousness of God, the light of God, the hope of God, the healing of God, the deliverance of God. God's church arising and being victorious. I'm telling you, they coincide. It's the best of times and the worst of times. You got to be willing. You've been praying for the harvest. You've been complaining because no one was listening, but you're not willing to go through nothing. But if you're willing to go through something, if you're willing to go through these difficult times, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see the harvest you've been praying for.
Mm.
You're going to see people listen whose hearts are softened, whose necks turn.
Mm.
You're going to see people who find out the end of this particular healthcare policy is making me lose my insurance and I'm no longer insured. People are being dropped off their insurance policies.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. This one lady on the news, on ABC News, is reporting. She says, I'm going through this medical difficulty now and I just got notice that I am dropped off my policy and I don't even qualify and I can't even get on. It's like, yeah, but you said you went this way with those value systems. You supported it all the way.
That's right.
But you know what? She's ripe for a harvest. She needs to know about Jesus. She don't need to know about politics. She needs to know about Jesus, that God loves her. God could heal her. And if we'll turn his way, God will heal our land.
Mm-hmm.
He will hear us. He'll forgive our sins, and he'll restore our land. Listen, the most awesome great awakening is on the edge if you hold fast to your profession of faith and walk in the light as he's in the light. Realize that Satan comes as an angel of light.
Mm.
The most deceptive person on the face of the earth is going to come to you, this driven by Lucifer, is going to come to you as your closest friend. He's going to come or she's going to come to you, and it's going to feel so right.
Mm.
It's called deception.
Right.
And even the servants of Satan are called servants. No wonder they're mistaken for servants of righteousness.
Mm.
And I'm hearing folks already, and I mentioned earlier, I said, well, there's Zedekiah. You know, there's Zedekiah. And if you haven't listened to Joshua, you need to listen to Josiah. You need to listen to Josiah to understand the progression that America's in now. And we should never, never, just because somebody rhymes their word, somebody feels your pain, or anything like that, you should find out, who are they? Know those who labor amongst you. And know what they're, know, and the answer is never a political answer anyway for the church. The answer is always for us to repent and preach the gospel, preach the light. And we need to wake up and realize that I don't care who it is. First of all, I got some news for you. Jesus Christ would not run for political office.
Hmm.
He would not, and understand, America's only a couple of days old compared to the history of the world, so it's a new concept, it's an experiment. And when Jesus shows up, he's king, if he's king now, mm-hmm. but he shows up, he's king, so it doesn't, you know, he's not going to run for office. It was a big insult to him when they said, can you stay around and run our town? Mm-hmm. He's like, I already am running your town. I'm giving you the air to breathe and holding you together. I'm going to move on to the next city here and preach.
And forget you just said that.
I'll just forget to say, yeah, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And so for the folks who think that politics are the answer, you're going to throw your hat. You're going to throw your hat behind an angel of light, thinking it's an angel of light. You're going to throw your hat behind people who you think is the answer, light. And no man, I mean, all men are flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And the only true light is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The hope for Washington, D.C., if you are truly a believer, is for you begin to live your life for God. Live your marriage for God. You know, live, you know, your family for God. Begin to repent from like a ripple effect from you. And then if it makes it outside of you, then that's great. If it doesn't, at least you made it, you know, and, but it will, it just, it's just a natural thing. And when I think about Charles Seymour, one man, one eye, one room, crying out to God, desperate for a move of God, the ripple effect went across the entire world in 1907, 16, 7, something like that.
1906.
Before texting and email, let's put it that way. And which means that could be you. You could be Charles Seymour. But to think it's a political answer, to understand right now the easiest way to dupe America is to think that the Messiah is going to be in some political party. And that's just like people are throwing their hopes like, are you serious? And it's so sad. Especially when you see leaders in the church start saying, you know, this is our hope. It's like, no. You're in the church. The hope is Jesus Christ. Right. Let them work it out.
Exactly.
I mean, even Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate and didn't take over his position there. He allowed him to do. I mean, it was so irrelevant. He knew that the authority that he's got from above. And God did not overthrow Pharaoh until he decided it was time. And God empowered Nebuchadnezzar for a season of time to use him as a servant to accomplish things. And he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he had a moment. He had a moment when he was taking credit for what he did. He could not find a pedicurist and a manicurist or a groomer,
hairstylist. No stylist for him.
It just kind of went wild for a while. And so understand the answer is not that. What's happening in Washington, D.C. is happening because we, the church, have walked into darkness. And we are the temple of God. It's not the download ministry now. It's not tape ministry. It's not CD ministry. It's not cassette. It's not. Somebody says, I can't believe they got that they're selling stuff in the foyer of this building. And it's like, what are you selling in your heart? That's what it's about. It's not about this gathering place. What are you selling in your heart? I can't believe they're. It's like, what are you? It's you. It applies to you. And that Washington, these 530 folks. Come on. I mean, it's so unfair. Is it not unfair? That you sent there,
right?
That you sent there from your participation or lack of participation or repentance or lack of repentance, for your lack of witnessing in your own district the gospel of Jesus Christ, for your lack of going into the streets and telling people about Jesus Christ, who would have changed their hearts and changed their life, and that would have caused them to choose a different person that would have sent there. D.C. reflects what we're not doing for Jesus in our own districts. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about winning people to the Lord. If you want to change, this is what's so amazing about America. You can change America by just going out into your neighborhood and telling people God loves them, God's got a plan for their life. Preaching the gospel. Getting people on and connected to and listening to VFN TV, VFN radio on VFN TV. And just have it wash over them. You know what happens? When people meet God, they make God-type choices. And then all of a sudden, you know what happens? It reflects that in your school board. It reflects that in your county commission. It reflects that in your city council. It reflects that in the choice of state legislator. It reflects that in the choice of governor. It reflects that in Congress and the Senate and in your executive branch. It just reflects it because it's made up of pieces of us. Somebody says, well, that's just too much. I think I'd just rather go through manipulation and try to get it. It ain't going to work. You can't do righteousness through manipulation and carnality. You know, by your flesh. You have to actually go tell some. First of all, you got to repent yourself. I mean, don't show up like a flashlight with no batteries and tell somebody they need to be the light. They're trying to look at you, trying to figure out what are you talking about? Where do you go to church at?
Right.
And understand that Washington, D.C. is reflecting the church. Does that make sense? If it's 600 and something thousand people, you know, for every representative in Congress, your representative in the House of Representatives comes from your area, then if you go out and you witness and you preach the gospel and you love the folks and you help the poor and you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those 600,000 people day in and day out, and you unify with the church and those 600,000 people with the ones who truly are the church that are going after God, let me tell you something. You're going to send a different representative to Washington, D.C. You're going to send somebody totally different. It's going to come from amongst you. And whoever it is, they're going to represent your values, the values that you preached and that you taught and that the Word of God says. I mean, think about it. If you're 600 and some odd thousand people, that's going to choose your next representative, if they're actually not part of the 81%, they're not even touching their Bibles, but they actually read their Bibles and they're abiding with God, it's going to reflect that. It'll reflect all the way from your governor down, from your school board up, all the way out to the Washington, D.C., from your executive choices, all the way down to your Senate choices. And then no, definitely, this is who really tells on us. This is who really tells on us. Who is our congresswoman? Who is our congressman? Because that is right straight from our neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's where the church is, or it's you as a believer, are ministering or not ministering.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
With that limited amount of folks, it's a pretty good indication of what's happening in that area.
Yeah, yeah. And think about it. Somebody says, well, I can't change the world, but you could probably change your district.
Mm.
You can preach the truth to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, begin to just aggressively do like Paul did. Do it in your district, whatever it is. Find out what your district says. This is my ministry. And then all of a sudden, in your district, you're not trying to be political. You're not talking about political parties and all that stuff. It's all a waste. I'm talking about Jesus Christ in the hearts of men, where they're abiding with God and they're hearing God, and God tells them, this is what you do.
Mm.
God tells them, this is what you say.
Mm.
God tells them, I'm supposed to run. I think about, you know, a particular school superintendent that I know, that he was running on his treadmill one day, and God spoke to him and said, I want you to run for superintendent.
Right.
And he's like, okay. And he went and he said, he laid out a fleece and said, is this, you know, if this is what y'all, and the teachers embraced him. And since then, he's been doing a wonderful job.
Wow.
With a very large school district. But you know what? He heard from God and he followed God.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine every school district has a superintendent or whoever's over your school. Mm-hmm. This here's God. That's how it changes. And not only that, believe that there's a school board that he works with or she works with that's also hearing from God.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen? Your schools are going to reflect that. And then think about, now you have a state legislator who's going to fund that school system, that they're thinking the same way that the superintendent's thinking, that the school board's thinking. What's going to happen? They're going to pray in that school.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have God in that school. That's going to be light in that school. Your kids now are going to go to a place where they're encouraged in God.
Wow.
Think about that. What do you got to do? You got to obey the Great Commission in your own district. Go preach the gospel in your own district. We've been praying for a long time that God would help us stop this darkness. And at some point, God answers prayer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when, you know, people are praying for a move of God, and then God begins to move, and people keep praying. It's like, it's raining. Just now begin to thank God for the rain. It's happening. And we're seeing a lot of things that we've asked God for, and we've joined a chorus of others who have been asking mm-hmm. God for, and which is basically what he asks us to ask for. I mean, we're not asking our will, but we ask him for his will, because his will is much, much better for us. And God is just answering pretty rapidly, which is a great sign. It's real strange when you look at the texture of what's taking place, because in some areas it seems like it's given totally over to darkness, while simultaneously, you know, somebody like a statue to Rosa Parks is being brought into the rotunda, which is beautiful. It's just beautiful to see. Wow, that's great. But this demonic view, what's happening here? Like, well, that's good that's happening. And then you see just basically pull open in the floodgate to abortions. At the same time, if you can go back and listen to go on the VFN Torch and listen, we have young people that are realizing now, we can see our children now. You couldn't see your children in 1972 when you actually passed this. We can see inside of our womb, this is the child.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put, you know, like 950 crosses that represented the children that would be murdered that day in the womb on the lawn of the ones who were going to fund it, which was Congress. And so simultaneously, while the floodgates were being opened by Lucifer and those, you know, Lucifer's children, that at the same time, we're looking at the awakening of the young folks who are saying, I don't think so.
And laws have passed through several states that have banned abortions after, you know, 20 weeks. And that's popping up all across the country.
Yes, and even in Florida, I remember there was the Governor Scott signed Born Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Just exciting. You know, so the simultaneous you're seeing, so pay attention. It's what we talked about, and this is probably part of it, in regards to the a third great awakening. It's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. Don't, you know, hang on and realize when huge things are happening, like, okay, you've been praying for the slavery to end. You've been praying for the sex trafficking to end. And at the same time, they open the floodgates to kill children, you know, for more abortions. Understand simultaneously, people like Operation Underground Railroad and Exodus Cry and all these are opening up and they're rescuing these children. They're going in there. And it's like, so it's like, this is quite often the mentality. It's all or nothing. And it's like, it's whatever the truth is, it's whatever, ever how God wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often it takes the pressure of just the turning us over to what we're saying to help us understand what I was saying was wrong.
Right.
And it turns us back. Even the woman that they used for Roe versus Wade, who actually never had an abortion, she says today, as a believer, she goes, that was all wrong. I was just used. I was naive. I was, you know, and she's a Christian today trying to let everybody know. And that's what I was talking about. They just get turned over. So look what's happening. These are great signs of a powerful move of God happening over the face of the earth. You know, a righteous movement, a righteous river coming down from the throne of God. And what happened, you're looking at a world turned over to itself. And when that happens, that's when prodigals go, this ain't working. And I'm not being subsidized anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not, nobody's helping me with my rent no more. Nobody's giving me food no more. Snap. You know, nobody's, nobody's doing the stuff for me anymore. And it's like, I have to do something. I'll turn to God. You know, once people quit trying to enable folks in the places of darkness, and I'm not saying that everybody's in these kind of things, I'm just saying that if you're serving that and not serving God, then you've made that God.
Yeah. And that is darkness.
And that's darkness. It's slavery. I think it's a plantation myself that people are being held back when everything that God has created you to be is not coming to its fruition because it's repressing you, saying you can't make more money than this. You can't get married. You got to lose your place if this happens. You know, all these different stipulations happening now. Go sending your kids to school is just about getting your check. You know, it's like, what's happened to that mentality in this whole thing? And the truth is that you're made in the image and the likeness of God, and everything that's inside this successful woman or that successful man's inside of you. And so if you turn to the Lord and say, God, I want you to bring that out of me, then you could be the one that's helping folks. You could be the one that's empowering folks. And it's just another way of repressing people and holding people back, you know, in the context of that. But understand the best of times and the worst of times. So see, we're seeing this strange texture. If you're looking at a graph, you know, one graph's real high on darkness, but the next part of that graph is real high on light.
Yeah.
And it's like, it looks like Lucifer's last stand.
Right.
You know, it looks like cranking it up a notch as much as he can to be able to take as many out as he can. Because even you know, Lucifer knew that Hitler was going to end his life, that he was so cowardice that he would, even though he killed all these folks, he's going to swallow a pill.
Right.
You know, he knew that his time was limited, so he cranked it up a notch. Even at the last week, they killed
Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, taking out as many as he could before his host, because Satan has to have, spirit has to have a host. Somebody has to say, here I am, use my authority, use me. And he knew he was about to lose it. Mm. And so he was taking as many of God's people out as he could, as many voices of God as he could. And what you're seeing right here with this great, great move of God coming, about to come on the face of the earth, he's about to lose a lot of hosts because your help's going to come from the hordes of hell.
Mm.
Your help, the people that's going to stand with you for God are presently organizing you today, and their name is Saul. But I got good news for you. Saul Alinsky, as a matter of fact. But I got good news for you. On the road to Damascus, their name's going to be changed because they're going to see the light. And all of a sudden, they're going to quit trying to organize you, and they're going to allow the supreme organizer, Jesus Christ, to organize them. And God's going to change their name to Paul. And you're going to see major transformation take place. A third great awakening is coming to the face of the earth. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on the Emerald Coast, WHB audience, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households. all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.